Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Eco Money, where we shine a spotlight on sustainability and finance. Capital market participants are attaching greater importance to sustainable finance than a year ago, even as issuers and investors had to navigate unprecedented challenges due to the COVID-19 pandemic. According to findings of the HSBC Sustainable Financing and Investing Survey out this week, more than half of investors and three-quarters of issuers say the pandemic has either reinforced their commitment to environment, social, and governance, or made them realize they had paid too little attention to the social component of ESG. And the bank is betting big bucks on this trend. This month, the lender announced an ambitious plan to prioritize financing and investment that supports the transition to a net zero global economy, citing a landmark opportunity to build a thriving, resilient future for society and businesses. HSBC is committing to align its financed emissions, the carbon emissions of its portfolio of customers, to the Paris Agreement goal to achieve net zero by 2050 or sooner. Well, to find out more, we're joined today by Patrice Conseil-Cole, and he's the CEO and head of Southeast Asia, HSBC Global Asset Management Singapore. Patrice, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So HSBC has made a significant pledge to combat climate change, saying that it will prioritize financing and investment that's in line with the goals of the Paris Agreement, with $1 trillion set aside for green financing to support customers as part of the transition. Can you tell me more about the move in this direction?
Sure. Well, to paraphrase a point made recently by our group CEO, this is simply about when doing the right thing is also commercially smart. And this is also about remembering that once we are done with the COVID crisis, there is another bigger crisis to deal with. And of course, that's climate change. And you've mentioned the Paris Agreement goals. This is leading many organizations and not even countries, China recently, to pledge a net zero emission by 2050 or earlier. I think China said 2060. So for HSBC, to try and keep things simple, this is about aligning what we do with these goals. And so as a bank, this is about financing, be it through loans or primary market issuance like bonds. As an asset manager, which is the part of our activity which I'm more involved with, this is about aligning how we invest with the same goals. So this can take the form, for instance, of putting together investment strategies where we invest into companies whose carbon footprint is measurably lower than, for instance, the average of their peers in the same industry. It may sound simple, and of course it's not. We have to make sure in every one of our investment decisions that we can measure, that we can scrutinize, that we can question, often that we can even engage with the issuers of bonds or stocks we might buy. All of this, of course, is along ESG principles, and so E as in environment, social, and governance, but particularly with respect to the E in ESG, if we focus on carbon footprint and climate transition.
Now, among the next-gen climate solutions detailed in the announcement last week by HSBC, the bank said it will build its HSBC Pollination Climate Asset Management joint venture into one of the world's largest natural capital managers. Can you tell us a bit more about the funds to be launched through Pollination?
So as excited as I am about this, and trust me, I am, I can't really tell you much about the funds because they have yet to be created and to be approved by relevant regulators, etc. And plus, like every fund, it won't be for every kind of investor. But I can tell you about why we have decided to invest an enormous amount of time, efforts, people, money into this joint venture. And that's really exciting. So this is another case of doing the right thing can be commercially smart, is commercially smart. The rationale here is reducing carbon issuance is a great first step. But to achieve carbon neutrality, companies and countries will have to do a lot more. And that's where this joint venture comes in. We will help investors to achieve their objectives of carbon neutrality. And those investors could be companies, they could be pension funds, they can be governments, they can be financial institutions. So take a simple example. Take the example of a transport company, say an airline or a bus company, who wants to become carbon neutral. Well, they are not going to stop flying planes, or they're not going to stop driving buses. And those planes and those buses are not going to magically all start running on some hypothetical carbon neutral alternative fuel. And even when they do, like hydrogen, for instance, you have to wonder, oh, hang on a second, how is the hydrogen produced? Is that carbon neutral? And often you find out it's not. So this is where natural capital comes in. And this is where we come in as the first large-scale company to mainstream natural capital as an asset class to offer investors a wide exposure to global natural capital themes, both in emerging and in developed markets. And importantly, this will also provide stewardship and evaluation of the investments, thereby enabling investors to quantitatively measure impact.
Patrice, let's just rewind a little bit as well. What exactly do we mean by natural capital?
Let's start with the practical answer. It's a diverse range of projects that will preserve, protect, and enhance nature over the long term. Sustainable investment in natural capital provides exposure to those investors to projects that are focused on nature, including, for instance, sustainable forestry, regenerative and sustainable agriculture, water supply, blue carbon, meaning carbon captures by oceans and coastal ecosystems, nature-based biofuels, or nature-based projects that generate returns from reducing greenhouse emissions. So that's the practical answer. In financial terms, you heard me say earlier, natural capital is an asset class. And you may notice I didn't say it's a new asset class. And in fact, you might say we have a massive climate change problem because natural capital as an asset class has been mispriced for centuries, taken for granted or for free, as it were.
Okay.
Economists will tell you this is, you know, climate change is the ultimate market failure because the benefit of to some economic actors do not take into account the cost to society as a whole. Well, by better identifying natural capital as a distinct asset class, whose main benefit is to provide us with an environment we want to live in, to enable biodiversity, which we need, and to operate as carbon sinks, we can help investors to achieve their carbon neutrality goals.
So then how is this changing the financial landscape, particularly here in Asia, Patrice?
Natural capital as an asset class. So most investors know cash, bonds, equities, maybe commodities as distinct separate asset classes, each of them with their own price drivers, such as their cash flow features, for instance, and that those tend to be specific to the asset class and to define the asset class as such, right? I think it's fair to say that many investors do not yet recognize natural capital as a distinct asset class. And perhaps because historically it fell into the structurally mispriced or too complicated bucket. And too complicated because illiquid, hard to value, hard to manage, hard to invest into at scale, et cetera, et cetera. And that may well be the source of the market failure I mentioned earlier. So hopefully we can change this. And thus we can change the financial landscape. Something different to invest into, with different drivers for cash flows and returns, and different benefits to society. And I have to say again, maybe not for all types of investors, because we're not exactly talking about particularly liquid investments here, but certainly for the large ones who need help achieving their carbon neutrality, achieving those goals at scale. Because just buying a small patch of a small forest is not going to help if you're running a large airline, for instance. So finally, you know, in this sense, it's investing in the resilience of nature and helping the resilience of nature, which is going to be investing in the resilience of the economy. And if we can play a part to this, then we're changing the financial landscape. And this is really something to be excited.
And this is quite a seismic shift. What are some of the challenges that you see on the horizon and how do you see them being overcome?
So the challenges we may face with this, or that any investor will face, is sourcing the investments in the first place, making sure that the governance surrounding those investments is of top-notch quality, making sure also we're talking about nature here, so people live there, people have a stake there, making sure that those different stakeholders, are their interests are taken into account, better even if we can, making sure that they benefit directly from those improvements or from those benefits, typically if we talk about biodiversity, that could be a good example. And one of the key points is scale. The needs of a large company or a large investors require very scalable, very large investments. And we know climate change is a battle we win or we lose, probably in Asia, because we have some of the largest issuers around here, and also because we have some of the largest growth perspectives around here. So making sure there's better alignment in that respect is probably the biggest challenge we have to overcome. But again, that makes for a very exciting opportunity.
Great. Well, Patrice, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
We've been speaking with Patrice Conseil, CEO and Head of Southeast Asia at HSBC Global Asset Management Singapore, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.